Come On Baby, The Last on Me, author Dream Little Yo, read by Lone Panther. Jesus, Sam, would you stop thinking so loud? Fuck you, Sam mutters, curling against the passenger side door and trying futility to tune his brother out. If anyone in this car is thinking too loud, it's Dean. Sam's just trying to sleep, just minding his own business and staring at the passing roadside. And it's really not his fault that there's always anxiety swirling around his brain and making it impossible to doze off. The problem is, they've been like this for 3 days. There was that debacle with the ominous cult and a cursed relic and then a whole bunch of chanting, and now Sam can't get a moment to himself because everywhere he turns there's Dean in his head and broadcasting his feelings on every frequency and making a complete nuisance of himself, then turning around and accusing Sam of bleeding thoughts into his brain. It's all supremely unfair, and if they hadn't already figured out that putting half a state's worth of distance between them doesn't help, gives them match pounding headaches and still leaves them stuck with each other's feedback, Sam would open the car door right now and start walking the other direction. Never mind, the car is still moving. Don't even think about it, says Dean. Road rash sucks, and I don't want to feel that even second hand. Anyway, I'm no happier than you are. Christ, Dean, can't you at least pretend to stay out of my head? I tried that for 80 miles, dude, and all it's got me is an air of hearing you freak out without actually saying anything. I'm over this bullshit. I hate you, Sam mutters. We'll figure out how to reverse it, Dean promises. Anyway, what's the matter in the meantime? Whatever you're worried I might see in your head, it's not worth having an aneurysm over. Sam glares out at the field instead of answering, because he's got plenty he doesn't want Dean to see. He focuses all his thoughts on how much he hates his brother right now, how this is all Dean's fault, because if he had listened to Sam, they could have scattered the cult, destroyed the relic, and never gotten stuck together like this in the first place. Fine, says Dean, be an asshole, whatever flips your pancakes, dude. They make it through a solid week before they decide that maybe the curse can't be reversed after all. This sucks, says Dean, kicking dejectedly at the sidewalk. You suck, says Sam. It's not his best moment, but what's the point of making up something clever to say when Dean will hear it in his head before Sam even gets the satisfaction of verbal delivery? Think Bobby's found anything? Asks Dean. Sam doesn't know why they still even bother to have their conversations aloud, but he suspects they're both just being stubborn. Anyway, his own head is still a cluttered mess of deliberate distraction and irrational rage. There are still all those things he doesn't want Dean to know, after all. And from the cacophonous chaos he hears screaming in from Dean's head, his brother is guilty of the same tactics. Sam hopes so, anyway. It's even more terrifying to think that maybe that's what Dean's thought sound like all the time. Of course Bobby hasn't found anything, Sam says tiredly. He would have called us by now if he had, or if he knew someone else who might have a clue, or if he thought there might be a book somewhere in Finland with the answer. Shit, mutters Dean. No kidding, says Sam. They spend 3 days in the calm quiet of a nature reserve, giving themselves migraines and taking an excessive number of painkillers, and finally emerge with some idea how to block each other out. It's not perfect, and they're not what Sam would call good at it, but it's a start. It's a few minutes to themselves at a time anyway, and then longer periods of respite as they get the hang of it. If they're both focusing on keeping their thoughts to themselves, they can drive down the highway without driving each other nuts. It's 3 months in that the dam breaks, and Sam doesn't see it coming. Dude, he says, stop being so jumpy. This isn't the first cramped janitor's closet we've had to hide in. Shut up, says Dean, and besides the fact that it's not exactly the witty rejoinder Sam was expecting, he also has to admit that it's weird not to hear his brother's thoughts. On the job, they tend to let their guard down. Thought bleed can be a vital advantage when they're fighting monsters. It's that extra second of warning and the need for effortless, instantaneous communication. For Dean to be blocking Sam out right now says something is wrong. The problem is, this closet is really small. There's barely enough space to breathe, and Dean is pressed up against him so tight that it's all Sam can do to keep his attention on the job, watching the hallway through the barely cracked open door, instead of on some of those very key things he doesn't want Dean to know. He doesn't have much choice but to let Dean's deliberate radio silence slide by. What do you think it is? Dean asks in a hard, harsh whisper, eyes blinking wide in the dim light of a single dying light bulb. It's definitely not a spirit. That trail of snot is a little too distinctive. Maybe. Fuck, Sam hisses through his teeth, clicking the door shut as fast and slow as he can and shoving at Dean, fitting his hand tight over his brother's mouth to shut him up before the thing in the hallway hears him. He pushes too hard, and if there was space in this room to fall over, that'd be on the floor. As it is, he's just got Dean shoved uncomfortably against the brick with not enough space between them. The sensation of Dean's walls coming down is sudden and jarring. Sam can feel Dean's surprise, accompanied by the rapid rhythm of Dean's pulse where their chests press together, and beneath that a sharp spike of arousal so strong he nearly gasps aloud. Dean's mental voice is a panic mantra, loud and flurried, and Sam's eyes might be wide, but Dean's are wider as Sam listens to his brother run circles. Oh fuck, oh fuck, oh fuck, oh fuck, oh fuck, in his head. Oh, Sam thinks, and he knows from the way Dean's eyes widen even further that his brother heard him. Dean's eyes cut towards the door and then back to Sam, and the panic is a palpable force between them. It makes Sam's head swim, and it's giving him a headache, too loud, too intense, and too much to process. Maybe he should ease back and remove his hand, but for some reason he stays right where he is. It's not like there's anywhere else for him to go at the moment. Dean, calm down, Sam admonishes, trying to project his thoughts loudly enough to drown out the onslaught. It works a little. Dean's furious panic eases back to a quiet roar, but in its wake, Sam can feel the pulse of desire still humming through Dean's body, and there's no denying that Sam's proximity is the catalyst to this particular dilemma. Except, it's not really a dilemma at all. It's an opportunity Sam never thought he would have, and for all there are a million reasons not to, reasons it's wrong and a bad idea and probably a disaster waiting to happen, Sam holds Dean's gaze and slowly, deliberately lets his own walls down. Dean's panic leaves him slow on the uptake, but he puts it together soon enough. Sam's not hiding anything now, and when he lets the shields of distraction fall away, there's nothing to mask the fact that Sam's every bit as turned on as Dean is. You mean you? Yeah, but Sammy, I know. Now's not the time for this. Sam caught a glimpse of their prey before he slammed the door shut, a tall, dark, slimy shadow inching down the corridor, and they need to take it out before it kills again, before it leaves any more victims lying blank and lifeless in a pool of yellow slime. We'll talk about this later, he promises, and Dean gives a short nod, eyes narrowing with new focus. The rush of panic has been replaced with a surge of adrenaline, and Sam feels it like a zone. Now they're back in sync with each other, this hunt should go a whole lot more smoothly. Okay, Dean nods, pulling a gun from somewhere and clicking the safety off. Let's do this. Give me just one look. Author, Dream Little Yo, read by Lone Panther. Sequel to Come On Baby, The Laugh's On Me. Dibs on first shower, Dean announces the second they step back into the sanctuary of their motel room. It's a bitchy thing to do, and he knows it. He got slimed, sure, but Sam got hit a hell of a lot worse. Dean's whole body twitches in sympathy at the sight of yellow goo drying in Sam's hair and crusting along his arms and chest. But this isn't about fairness and shower dibs equity. This is about getting in and out of the shower before Sam's turn so that he can make a break for it while his brother is getting clean. He doesn't plan to go far, of course. He can't, for one thing. The curse binding them together prevents him, and he doesn't want to ditch Sam or anything, he just needs a little space. He needs to find somewhere grassy and quiet, easy enough since it's about 2 a.m, that he can sit for a while and do his best not to think. He's guarding his thoughts carefully now. The second their prey was dead, Dean put his walls back up so hard that his head is still throbbing. Sam's probably freaking out, but Dean doesn't worry about that as he chucks his coat and shoes and shuffles hurriedly into the bathroom. He showers fast, barely enough of a rinse to get the drying slime off his skin, and then puts on the same pants and t-shirt he's been wearing all day. He ditches the long sleeve button up though, the thing's probably not salvageable, and he definitely doesn't want to put the rant thing anywhere near his skin. All yours, he says, as he steps back into the room, and Sam has passed him faster than a blink, slamming the door and leaving Dean to execute his plan in peace. Dean yanks on a clean set of sleeves and gives his freshly slimed coat a sad look. At least it wasn't his leather jacket. He doesn't think this sucker is salvageable either. He steps outside without a coat. It's brisk and breezy, just uncomfortable enough to offer a distraction, and he walks around the building and towards the sparse stand of trees behind it. Grass and leaves crunch beneath his boots, and even though through the trees he finds a run-down park full of rusty playground equipment and oddly spaced picnic tables. He picks a table buried in the shadows of a large tree. Even the revealing wash of moonlight doesn't touch it. Dean sits on the bench with his legs kicked out across the grass, his elbows resting on the table behind him, and his back slouching tightly. He reinforces his mental shields and does his best not to think about anything. The problem with blocking Sam out is that the dam works both ways. He can't read anything off his brother when he's got his walls up this strong, so he gets no warning beyond the sound of footsteps to signal that Sam is approaching. So we're not going to talk about this then, says Sam. He sits beside Dean on the bench and mirrors his pose. Seems like a smart way to go. Dean mutters, incest and curses and telepathic bonds. He'd just as soon keep pretending it all the way. But already it's taking more effort to keep his shields up, to keep Sam out, and it's not that they can put this off forever. Or you could talk to me now, instead of an hour from now when we're both too tired to keep our thoughts to ourselves. How come you're not freaking out about this? Dean demands. He looks at him with a hard, heavy look, but his brother doesn't so much as squirm under the scrutiny. Because in the big scheme of things, does it really matter? Look at all the shit we've done wrong in the last few years, dude. This, he says, gesturing between them in a vague way that somehow encompasses everything from the unwanted bond to their exchange in the janitor's closet just hours before. On the scale of things we've fucked up, this doesn't even come anywhere near the apocalypse. Dean has to admit his brother has a point. So what then? He asks. You want to be boyfriends? Want to go pick out rings? Maybe look at China patterns? Fuck that, says Sam. Can't we just say something profound like, it is what it is, and then see what happens? You sure you're going to be okay with that, Dean Hedges? Thought you hated doing things with a plan. I figure I can afford to make an exception, Sam says, expression going dark and heavy. So can I kiss you or what? Dean double takes and stares for a moment, trying to find his voice through the tightness suddenly clogging his chest and throat. Yeah, he finally manages. His voice feels husky and rough. Sam doesn't move in all at once, fast and intent, the way Dean has seen him move on girls. He opts for a more cautious approach, maybe worried that Dean will change his mind, or maybe all too conscious of the gravity of the situation. This isn't something they get to take back if things don't work out. Dean's not even sure he's still breathing as Sam's hand touches his face, palm curving around his jaw and inviting him to lean closer. Dean accepts the invitation, and his lips part on the barest hint of a breath. When Sam kisses him, Dean's walls fall away. He was getting tired of holding on to them anyway, and now he's not sure which is more intense, the warm press of Sam's mouth or the surge of mingled want he feels pulsing in his head. Dean parts his lip, the first hint of Sam's tongue, and his brother's cautious approach shatters to pieces. Sam surges against him, getting a commanding hand around the back of Dean's head and taking the kiss deeper, harder, more demanding. Dean groans and lets his brother in, lets Sam take everything he wants and more, wondering all the while how long his brother thought about doing this. Years, comes Sam's voice in his head, frantic and eager. Fuck, Sammy. Dean's hands tangle in Sam's shirt, trying to drag him closer even though there's already no measurable space between them. He can see so many things in his brother's thoughts, so many secret, stifled moments, just like the ones Dean has been repressing since Sam stumbled back into his life. They've wasted so much time, missed so many opportunities. Fuck, they could have been doing this for years. Dean can't remember now why it seemed like such a bad idea. Okay, Sam aloud this time, and Dean grunts in disapproval at losing the kiss. Sam holds him at a distance, despite the fire flashing in his eyes and the hunger Dean can still feel so clearly beneath his brother's skin. You better have a good reason for stopping, Dean grouses, eyes narrowing. Sam laughs, and Dean feels the sound all the way down to his bones. It makes him feel light and terrified all at once. Dean, Sam says, calm and reasonable. It's freezing out here. I don't know about you, but I'd rather continue this inside. Oh, Dean says dumbly. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Come on, Sam smiles, standing up from the bench and tugging Dean up by the hand. Dean follows obediently toward the room, and he doesn't once try to pull his hand free of Sam's grip. Back inside, with the door locked and the chain in place behind them, Dean feels light-headed with anticipation. There's an impossible eager flame burning between them, and for all that Dean has always been gentle with women, he discovers he really enjoys the way Sam manhandles him out of his clothes and down to the bed. They don't do much that night. It's all too new and intense, and Dean's never been sharing a brain with someone while fucking them, or while rubbing uncoordinately against them, as the case may be. It's a quick build-up to overload, double the sensation, and Sam, staring at him in the eyes, hard and hungry until neither of them can take it anymore, and Dean closes his eyes, throws his head back, and comes. The bond feels different after that, muted and somehow more manageable, like maybe they did just overload the circuit. And though the connection is still there, strong and stubborn, and as inevitable as ever, Dean feels for the first time in months like he can hear himself think. Not that he's in the mood for much thinking right now. Sam lets him stand up to find a washcloth for clean-up, but as soon as Dean gets back to the bed, he finds himself tugged down and manoeuvred until he's curled against Sam's chest, caught inescapably in the circle of his brother's arms. Freak, he thinks, and smiles at the way it makes Sam's chest shake beneath his cheek, laughter bubbling up and over. You Gotta Stay Hungry, author Dream Little Yo, read by Lone Panther. After that first go-ahead, it's like Sam doesn't remember how to keep a normal distance between them. He always has to be touching Dean, at least when they can get away with it. There are still too many moments when having Sam draped over his shoulder, or touching his leg, or trailing fingers along the back of Dean's neck would probably draw unwanted attention, or make the witness they're interviewing uncomfortable. Dean doesn't mind, though the intensity of his brother's attention takes some serious getting used to. They share a bed now by unspoken default, because Sam gets restless if he doesn't have Dean tucked close in his arms, and Dean prefers the warm reassurance of Sam pressed possessively along his back. It makes this whole surreal situation into something he can almost wrap his head around. Bobby calls on a Friday, gruff and familiar, and all he says is, "Get your asses over here." "Do you think he knows?" Sam asks while they drive. "Fuck no," says Dean, keeping the bulk of his attention on the road, which is a tough feat considering the distraction of Sam's hand resting on his thigh, Sam's thumb brushing back and forth across the inseam of his jeans. Bobby doesn't know, as it turns out. In fact, he's got something he says might be a solution to their problem. "You'll have to stay for a few days," Bobby insists. "It's a complicated ritual, no way enough to leave him work, but it's the only lead I found." Staying under Bobby's roof and not touching each other for the better part of a week sounds almost as awesome as the prospect of losing the volatile new bond between them, which is to say, shitty. "What happens if we don't get rid of it?" Dean asks cautiously. Bobby shrugs helplessly. "Could be nothing worse than you're already dealing with. Could be that it tears you boys apart. Of course, there is a consummation ritual, but trust me, you don't want to go there." "What if we were to consummate it?" Sam pipes up, and Dean wants to elbow his brother in the stomach and tell him to shut up. Bobby scowls disapprovingly and taps restless fingers on the enormous leather tome in front of him. Theoretically, the bond would settle and become unbreakable. No force in the world could undo it, not even this ritual. But from what I've read, trust me when I say that ain't an option. Dean's got a feeling they're not talking options here so much as something that's already done. Not that Bobby needs to know. But Dean exchanges a quick glance with Sam, gets a short non-response, and he knows they're going to let Bobby test out his theories. If it can't take away what they've discovered, then what harm can it do? It'll be a waste of time, sure, but if it gets Bobby off their trail, then it's worth a little inconvenience. The ritual doesn't do a damn thing, of course, and 1 week later, Sam and Dean are bidding Bobby goodbye. They promise to keep him informed, to call him the second anything changes, and then they hit the road as fast as they can. They need distance in a motel, any motel, because there's a whole lot less time to make up for now. Dean's skin feels electric with the need to touch, and Sam in the driver's seat is barely keeping his eyes on the road, gaze scanning every sign that goes by in search of available lodging. They finally find what they're looking for and can't check in fast enough. In the room, Sam is all over him in a heartbeat. It would be overwhelming even if all he felt was physical sensation, but Dean can barely breathe through the tidal wave of his brother's thoughts and urges and instincts and the very essence of Sam pouring through Dean's bloodstream like it's the only natural thing. "Jesus, Sammy," he breathes, the words mumbled into the manning press of his brother's lips. "Fuck, slow down." He wants to process this. He doesn't want to fall too quickly over the edge and miss it the way he has every other time Sam has touched him. But he's just about to hit sensory overload, and Sam's fingers tugging at his clothes might be enough to push him over. Sam backs off abruptly, pacing backwards to put a couple of steps between them. The heavy hunger darkening Sam's face indicates that the concession of space is a difficult one. The wanting, eager buzz curling in the back of Dean's skull confirms it beyond question. Sam may have backed off, but he doesn't intend to keep his distance for long. Dean's thoughts feel fuggy and jumbled, and he feels the irrational need to reassure his brother. "I'm not backing out," he says, as if he could at this stage in the game. "I know, Sam," says Sam. Dean can feel the thin shadow of humour in the words, but it's almost completely eclipsed by Sam's firm, heated intent. There's so much anticipation in the air, Dean thinks he might be able to choke on it. "How are we doing this?" Dean asks, letting his mind carry the question instead of his voice. He's not sure how his voice will sound if he tries to use it now. Something feels different tonight. Something tells them that they're going to do more than slide desperately against each other until they both lose it this time. "However the hell you want," Sam informs him, taking an involuntary step forward. Dean breathes in sharply, unable to tear his eyes away from his brother's piercing, commanding gaze. Sam speaks aloud when he says, "For the love of God, Dean, get your clothes off already. Or I'm going to tear them off you with my teeth." Dean hears crystal clear, following the demand. The image almost makes him smirk. Hell, he might even laugh at the thought if he weren't busy complying as fast as humanly possible. He wants to stop and stare when he realizes Sam is doing the same, scuffling out of his jeans and shirts in an awkward, intricate dance. They gawk at each other, and Dean realizes they've never taken the time to do this. Dean feels caught and surreal, it seems. He's seen Sam naked plenty, but this is different. This is both of them, staring each other down like they're facing off, breathing hard and naked and seconds away from falling into each other with the explosive force of a star going nova. Dean has never seen anything so beautiful as the sight before him right now, and his chest tightens alarmingly when he picks up on his brother's thoughts and realizes Sam is thinking exactly the same thing. There's not nearly enough oxygen in the room suddenly, and Dean feels lightheaded when Sam takes a step forward, then a second. Dean tilts his head back to look his brother in the eye. "Christ, Dean," says Sam, reaching to trace Dean's jaw with the fingers of one hand. "The things I want to do to you." "Show me," whispers Dean. He doesn't even know how he means it, physically or otherwise. But it doesn't matter. Sam slants his palm along Dean's cheek and leans in to press their foreheads together, yanking Dean flush against him as he throws open the last of his shields and lets Dean see flash after vivid flash of images, more than enough to prove the point. Dean sees himself on his knees, Sam's cock between his lips, spreading his mouth wide, sees his own face pressed against a partially papered wall, Sam plastered along his back, Sam thrusting into him from behind. He sees himself on his back on a grey comforter, Sam between his thighs and rocking his hips in an unpredictable rhythm, leaning in low to capture Dean's mouth in a surprisingly tender kiss. "That one," Dean gasps, aloud and in his mind, fuck Sam, want to do that one. Sam growls and kisses him, then practically carries him over to the bed, eager to oblige. Dean's head is spinning and his blood feels like fire. Sam is impossible heat beneath his hands, pushy and unmovable and thrilling. Sam grabs and shoves. Manhandles Dean easily, and Dean will never admit out loud how much he loves it, but he doesn't have to. Sam already knows. Sam's off him for all of 30 seconds, and then he's back, settling his body between Dean's knees and crushing Dean into the mattress. His fingers, when they slide between Dean's legs, are slick and a little bit chilly. Dean hisses in momentary surprise, and Sam kisses him again. Hurry mumbles up, "Sorry, sorry, sorry," against Dean's lips as the same refrain echoes in his head. He preps Dean quickly, slick slide of fingers in and out, one, then two, then three. It's not long enough, but they're both vibrating with impatience, fueling the matching fires already smouldering in their bellies, when Sam lined himself up, blunt tip of his cock nudging at Dean's entrance, they both hold their breath, and when he slides in too soon, too fast, too hard, they both gasp and shout in commingled overload of pleasure and pain. "Oh, fuck," Dean gasps, clinging to Sam's bicep with one hand and clutching the comforter with the other. His mind reels at the tight, hot length of Sam's cock splitting him open, the feel of Sam's body nestled in as close as he can get between Dean's thighs. Sam's face is buried against Dean's throat, one hand braced at Dean's hip, and fuck, is that Sam shaking or him? They hold taut like that for agonizing seconds, moments ticking forward as Dean's body adjusts, and Sam is obviously invalidly fights the urge to move already. "Okay," Dean gasps when he can't take it anymore. "Okay, come on, give it to me already." And Sam does, God, he does, he springs to life instantly, hips snapping back and forward into immediate desperate rhythm. His relentless and unforgiving, harsh rush that Dean knows his body will be aching from later. But at the moment, he doesn't care about that. All he feels is the roiling, maddening, mounting pleasure spinning out of control. He can sense that the edge is approaching with vicious, undulating speed, the edge of a cliff with God knows what beneath, but he's not thinking about that. He's not thinking about anything. He's lost, going, going, gone, lightning and stars and volcanoes exploding behind his eyes, and he doesn't even remember closing them. Sam must be close behind him, maybe even trips over the cliff at the exact same moment. But Dean whites out and he has no way to know. In that instant, there's no Sam, no Dean, no world or sky or cheap motel room. There's nothing but the perfect, overpowering pulse of orgasm. It hits him so hard that Dean doesn't care if he ever comes down. Messages Keep Getting Clearer. Author Dream Little Yo, read by Lone Panther. Bobby's not an idiot. He's plenty of other things, stubborn, surly, and occasionally belligerent, but stupid is one thing he's never been. You don't survive long in this business without a good helping of smarts, and this late in the game, Bobby thinks he can safely say he's got more than his fair share. But at any rate, he's not an idiot. He knows something is different about Sam and Dean Winchester the second they walk through his door. He doesn't think too much of it at the time. This is the first he's seen of them since Sam's disjointed, panicked phone call of 4 months past, the first they've shown up on his doorstep since the curse hit. Bobby's been looking for a cure ever since he learned what happened, of course. He didn't want to call them in until he had something a little more close to a sure answer. Now he's got one, or something like it, and instead of looking nervous and hopeful and relieved, the Winchesters sitting in front of him looking less than pleased with the news. They seem to think they're putting on a good front, and Bobby can't decide whether to be amused or horrified at the awful poker faces before him. Dean looks like he's been kicked in the gut, Sam looks like he's sucking on a lemon, and Bobby's just trying not to roll his eyes. He fills them in anyway. He maybe can't blame them for not wanting to undo the curse. After so much time fronting for each other, wearing strong masks and half-truths like some kind of twisted family tradition, it must be nice to see things so clearly. Those boys obviously mean the world to each other. Probably too much if Bobby's going to step back and be impartial, though he's never been one to overanalyze the knots families tend to tie themselves into, and he can only imagine what a glimpse of that kind of devotion must be like. But Bobby has done his research and he thinks he knows what they're dealing with now. This particular bond is a curse, an unstable and volatile link. According to Bobby's resources, the damn thing could unravel both boys from inside if left to its own unpredictable course. There seem to be ways to settle the bond, to consummate it, all the texts say, but they all seem to be variations on a theme, sex and ritual, ritual and sex. Not exactly an option for the brothers Winchester. Even if they do currently seem as though they'd just as soon keep the curse between them. What if we were to consummate it, Sam asks, and Bobby doesn't miss the sharp look Dean throws his brother. Dean's always been brighter than Sam when it comes to some things. It's no surprise that this is one of those times he's putting things together ahead of the class. Trust me when I say that ain't an option, says Bobby. Because even if settling and keeping the bond were a good idea, a point that Bobby is in no way willing to concede, no way in hell is he bringing up incest as a possible solution. Sam and Dean might just disown him. Or worse, from the looks they're exchanging now, the fools might actually consider it a valid option. Bobby conducts his complicated ritual over the course of the next few days. It's slow going, lots of delicate room work and incantations, and more human blood than he's particularly comfortable playing with. The boys follow along every step of the way, but somehow it always seems like they're humouring him. He's disappointed when the ritual doesn't work. He wouldn't go so far as to say he's surprised. You chuckleheads call me, he insists vehemently. His arms crossed determinedly in front of his chest. If anything changes, or if you start to feel weirder than usual, or if something goes wrong, we will, says Dean. We promise, says Sam. There's enough genuine brightness in both their eyes that Bobby believes them. He has relative quiet after that, then joins them on a hunt 2 months later, unrelated, a haunting in an abandoned paper mill, and that's when he gives up on looking for a solution to something that's apparently no problem at all. He probably should have known all along. The night that they put the spirit to rest, he means to retire early. There's no reason to stay any longer than the second celebratory round, especially when Sam and Dean keep shooting each other proprietary glances that are clearly meant to fly under Bobby's radar. Whatever's up, it's probably family business, and family might not end in blood, but that doesn't give Bobby the right to pry. He excuses himself graciously and noiselessly, and makes his way out of the bar. It's not until he's halfway across the parking lot that he realizes that he's not wearing his hat. He blatantly remembers taking it off and settling it aside when Dean insisted on making sure Bobby really wasn't bleeding from the knock he took to the head. The damn thing is probably sitting on the table, off to the side and barely noticeable, not likely to be reclaimed by either Winchester if Bobby himself didn't realize he was leaving it. He mumbles an irritated curse under his breath and heads back inside. What he sees isn't much. It's certainly not enough to broadcast a scandal to the rest of the bar. There's nothing visibly untoward going on at the table. But Sam has gravitated closer to Dean in the 2 minutes since Bobby's departure. Both boys are staring at each other, expressions so focused and intense that Bobby wants to blink for them. They're smiling, an exchange of looks like Bobby has never seen on their faces before. Looks he can't hope to quantify now, not when so many levels of communication are flying over his head. Sam's right hand is disappeared beneath the table, and Dean is quirking an expressive eyebrow. Sam laughs, a low chuckle that carries across the bar to Bobby and makes him realize that there's an actual conversation going on here. That part's no surprise. He's been left down on the loop plenty of times in the last couple of days. He's watched in quiet vexation as the Winchester boys fell into their own headspace and spent half an hour nodding, squinting, quirking eyebrows at each other and forgetting to share with the class. But it's never been like this. What if we were to consummate it? Bobby suddenly remembers Sam asking. He suddenly gets as the question was anything but hypothetical. Christ, leave it to the Winchesters to find a way to get even more stuck together than they already were. Fuck the hat, Bobby mutters to himself, turning back the way he came. His feet can't carry him out the door nearly fast enough. The last thing he needs is for either of them to catch sight of him and realize their secret is out. There are some things Bobby would rather pretend not to know.